they worship King Pena, meeting yesterday, and Davis came home saying that, you know, he'd prepared a really good little devotional for that, and we thought, well, maybe it might be quite good if we all participate in that today. So if you want to share that first and have a time of worship after that, that'd be good.
Sorry for those who have to hear it again, but maybe you'll get, as I do, when you hear something through two or three times, you get different things out of it. Something put my box on, so you get the same silly stand up there. I'm always going to be loud enough. Will you?
Yeah.
Oh, otherwise, yeah.
The sound feels a bit grand, doesn't it? Oh, my dad always said that. Yeah. I heard Dad say that many a time. They need to stand in the pulpit. Yeah, as Jim said, we had our worship team meeting yesterday, so the word of encouragement that I prepared was really aimed at our team. But as you'll hear as I share it, we're all worshippers without fail, every one of us. So it is speaking to every one of us. Whatever our role, whatever our place, whatever our thinking is. Just like to start with a word from Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Lord was speaking to me this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This was, of course, the ministry of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has appointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted and to announce that the captives shall be released and the blind they shall see and that the downtrodden shall be freed from the oppressor and that God is ready to give blessing to all that would come to him. So in thinking about that this morning, you know, of course Christ is gone and he's passed that ministry on. The ministry he began, he's passed on to each one of us. It's now our mandate, it's now our vision and our ministry to continue what began over 2,000 years ago is passed on to us. And I'd written in my journal, this was like, I don't know, a year and a half ago, and I just happened to pick this up this morning. His plan is to use us in the world. He didn't ever plan to take us out of the world, but to use us in his love and in unity with him to attract the world to him. And that is key to who we are, that we are the attraction in the world of Christ, the Spirit, in unity with the Spirit. So I believe this will just lead on beautifully to talking about worship. We are here for such a time as this to attract people to Christ. Yeah, right. Worship is number one. Now these points that I put down, as I told the group, Ross wondered how many pens I'd worn out last week in writing, because when I start exploring a subject or a topic, it just goes everywhere with me and very deep and in all sorts of little roads. So it's very hard for me to condense what I have to say sometimes into just a chunk and just some headings. And what I hope that these words would do is provoke some thinking in your life that you think, oh, how do I think about that? How do I feel and where's that placed in my life? My number one statement is, worship is the number one aspect of importance in our lives. That calls me to pause and think. Number one, is it number one? Do I believe? Do I agree? And I really had to think that through. That where I place worship in my life. Of course, worship is in many forms in our connectedness to God. So our whole lives are actually worship. Whatever we're doing, with the right attitude, with the right heart, it's worship to God, everything. So it's that number one aspect, our connectedness to God. We're never to be disconnected We're connected to God and worship in everything. And that's really quite a thought. We've been given a new heart, the word says, that knows how to worship. And in fact, must respond to God in worship, whatever that is. Now, expressly, I'm talking yesterday to a worship team, to the music team. And so, but I believe for every one of us, God has given us a heart to know how to worship in song. And there will be a song, there'll be a, even if you're out of tune, there will be a need to express music, to express worship, to express honour to God in some way. And I believe our hearts must respond. Often I've heard people say, oh Fiona, it's fine for you, you are a worshipper. That's what you do, that's who you are. But it's what we all are, it's what God has made us all to be. However that expression is for us, that's not for me to say. It's between you and God. But there will be, I totally believe, an expression of worship from the heart and song in some way. Expressive worship is praise, movement. Song is a key to realizing. It is a key to developing, strengthening this new heart that God has given us. If you can imagine a baby, they're born with a new heart. They're just a tiny little baby, reliant, so reliant. But the heart that is developed and strengthened and grown becomes enlarged and knowing and more able. So you don't want to remain that little baby that is so reliant. You want to grow and develop and strengthen so as to be released in expression. So we may start off with very little expression from our heart in worship, but as that is realized and developed, that the sound that comes from our lives of worship will be greater. It'll be a deeper sound, a sound that reaches higher. Not that it's more special from our beginning to who we are as we grow in God, but it'll be that connectedness, it's that development. I'm trying to keep things small, so I'll not say too much and skip through. There's so much I could say on each of the topics. So it's the heart that leads in worship and not the head. You may know songs in your head and be able to sing them, but it's your heart connection to God in the song. And if there's a repeat, for instance, in a chorus in a song that I'm often hearing goes over and over that same repeat, for some people there's a disconnect because they just can't connect to God. Why are they singing that same line? We just sang it 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. But it's your heart connection to those words in the songs. What is God saying in those moments? And if you don't want to sing the words, that's fine. Just allow your heart to connect to God in those moments. From our hearts, our minds are renewed. It's not our mind that renews the heart. God renews the heart. Then from the heart, our mind is renewed. So it's to get things in the right order, that God places the thoughts in their heads, that our minds are made new in Him. So our connection, our connectedness to God is absolutely essential. And Scripture is brimming with exhortation on how we are to praise and how we are to worship, even to the style. And that can range from extremely loud, as you see in concerts and things, or maybe just in someone's personal worship. Maybe they're really loud or really quiet. From violent movement and expression to God to absolute stillness. And you might wonder about violent movement, but it's that if you're in, maybe you're doing war for your children in the spirit, and that there's expression in your body with what is flowing out of your heart, and that may be the violent movement, just to explain what that might be. So all of that is correct. None of it is wrong. Either you're loud, quiet, moving about, or still, it's all good. But it's just what the heart is doing. It's the heart of the matter, as we all know. And it's to be led by the Holy Spirit, like I say, from the heart. Worship in this fashion will transform. When we're connected to the heart, worship will bring transformation. It is our core being that desires to express itself in worship, to express God, our heart, our centre. And that's, as I said, every Christian. There's no one who gets off, falls off that list or doesn't. Yeah, that's just not me. I'm more mechanical or I like to do the books or whatever. We all have worship that must flow from our hearts, but it needs to be developed. And I've just written here, you may have to battle with your mind and your will and your emotions to contend, to war against what's happening in your mind. Your mind may not want to worship. Your mind may not want to bow down. Your mind may not want to give expression. You may, I think in our culture, we're often quite contained and reserved, and we don't easily give expression. And this is probably more our body language than to be expressive and let that expression flow. So if somebody, say in a congregation, suddenly gave loud expression, we'd probably be quite startled because that's not our usual. So you may have to do battle, as I have had to do over the years. For me, raising my hands was something I certainly couldn't do. And it was just a job to get them out of my pockets in the first instance. But like I say, the strengthening and developing, and you may have to do battle with your mind. Satan, of course, would contend for your worship. So that's something to really pause and think about, as to how you feel about that and where you think you're at with that. This is a journey for each one, individually and each of us together. It's a daily working out. Ephesians 4, one of my favourite chapters in the Bible in the last 2 or 3 years. It's encouraging us to encourage and exhort one another to maturity, to do what I'm doing here, encouraging, and for you to encourage me. And not to be critical of one another and condemning, but find those words that would encourage, find those words that would build up, find those words that would cause each other just to come up into all that there is available in Christ, all that he would lead us into. It's just such a word, that Ephesians 4, a good one to study and really chew over that word. None of us have arrived or will ever arrive at the end of the challenge of worship, because it is a challenge to our minds, as I said, and the thrill of deepening our walk in him. We'll never arrive at a point in our lives where, oh yeah, I did that in my 30s. I did all the growth and development, and yeah, I just go along now, and it's good. You know, I've got a lovely relationship with God, but God would deepen it, and God would widen it, and God would have us lifting up in the sense of our spirit, and there's a destination to get to and a journey that we're on, and we all need to be encouraging each other on that journey. There is no end to it. Even when we get to heaven, there'll be no end to discovering God. We will continue to grow in worship, to grow in knowledge and understanding of who he is and how it is and the vastness of him. There is no end to knowing him. This is where we come to in the picture, as I said yesterday, leading team and worship. And as I said, I was talking to our team, but I'm talking to all of us here now. We must be worshippers and have a freedom in the spirit to lead, because you lead me as much as I would lead you, and vice versa, any one of us. We are leading each other in what is okay and what is not okay in our expression. Song leaders, musicians, congregation, we all have our part to play in encouraging and exhorting and building the body. So number one, we need to be on the journey with God, intentional in deepening our relationship and growing who we are I'm not the same as I was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly not 5 years ago, and even last month. I'm at a different place in my journey, in my walk. God is forever deepening and expanding me and growing within me. But it involves me saying yes to God, doing that battle with the mind that would pull down and say, no, I can't do that, can't go there, don't want to know. And say, yes, God, where, how, when, what do I need? So be on the journey. Number two, a priority of unity. We need to, as a body, develop the ability for us each to flow together. That's absolutely imperative. And I think Alistair was going to speak about unity today, the priority. It should be a priority. If we're feeling critical about anything that's happening, have another thought. What would God really be saying to you? If you're feeling critical about how the worship style is or what the word was today, have another thought. What is God saying? There will be another thought and it won't be critical because God isn't critical. He may correct, but he's not critical. So unity should be our priority. Number three, deepen our spiritual understanding, as I've already said, of what worship is. And God, I see things in pictures, so spiritual deepening, I liken to a seed goes into the ground when I became a Christian. That seed, before anything appears, throws out roots. And those roots take hold in the earth. And it draws its health, ready to shoot up through the earth and grow. And when those roots keep going down and down and down and down and down, taking the nourishment and the goodness that God provides, the growth up on top may be small in the beginning, but in the end it's seen. And the picture I had was a tree, and imagine the roots, if they were little and tiny and hadn't explored and grown in God, they would never support a tree that, as I began in the word, the beginning, that God would have us attract the world to him. We need to be seen, we need to be attractive. In our worship, we need to be real. They need to see that there is a God that's living, that's active, that cares, that loves. Anyway, I can't go off on tangents. Number four, to sharpen and to hone the gifts that we have. Once again, I was talking to a worship team. So it's important that, you know, if God's going to have me up front singing, that I know what I'm singing about, I know what worship is. If you're playing an instrument, that you know where to find the keys or to find the right notes, etc. And it's important to be perfecting that gift. But first of all, before gifts, the important thing is that we are anointed for service. And that in that, the anointing is more important than your gifts. That your gifts you're able to lay down, but your anointing in him, you would never want to lay aside. Always check your heart. I can listen to music anywhere at any time, turn the radio on, put CDs on, TV music, and there'll be songs I like, songs I don't like. They don't engage my heart quite often, but the songs I can sing along with and enjoy in my head. Our worship here in church, our worship here at home, wherever, our worship in the sense of music is a very, very special time. We are not just singing words, we are not just singing songs, we are not just ticking a box and saying, well, that was a lovely song. I agree with that. But you need to connect in your heart to what the Lord is saying in those words to you. So just a question to ask yourself, am I truly a worshipper? Do I truly understand what it is to be a worshipper? Do I need to develop and deepen my understanding? And I would say, yes, you are truly a worshipper. Yes, you do truly need to deepen your understanding and develop that. That's yes for wherever you are at, whether you're a world-class singer like Darlene Zurich, in Hillsong, or whoever you are, there is still more to grow in your journey. We always need to make room for the anointing to flow out from us. That's from us as song leading team to you in the congregation. We're looking to have you meet with the Lord and connect with him as we are connecting, or hopefully connecting to God, that together we would be that expression in this place. That we're just here to serve and facilitate that. Creating time, that time in our service. So, and I think that's what we've been doing in our services, is trying to extend that time and make sure there is a time where there is a time to be connected in that special way in song. So have I connected in a significant way myself? And that's us before leading, maybe before we've come to church. Have we taken time to make sure we're not just rolling out to church expecting God just to take over and do what he needs to do, and then we'll go home again and do lunch? Have we really prayed into the meeting? Have we thought into the meeting? Have we prepared our hearts before God to be the servant in the meetings? And the same for you coming to church. Have you prepared your hearts for what God may be speaking to you, what God would like to flow through your life into the service that day? Nearly there. I missed that one, that's for 13 totally. I'll just leave that bit out, that's specifically for the team. But I've written here, God never changes. And we know that, God's always the same. He's never going to change, he's constant, he's absolutely reliable. We can totally trust in what he is doing, when he's doing it, how he's doing it. Yet for us, in that, it can be very unpredictable. God may desire, like this morning, we didn't predict that I would be up here talking, that Margaret would be on the piano, that, you know, there's things that are unpredictable for us, but God knows, and God's constant, and God's in this, and God is working through it all. But as much as he never changes, he asks that we change. We must change. That the word says that we are changed from glory to glory. From glorious encounter, is how I interpret that, to glorious encounter in God. And those glorious encounters, of course, are the heart times, the times that you really connect to God and he gets a chance to really get in there and do some shifting, some growing, some planting, seed releasing, whatever it is. Clearly God, I believe, is championing change here in our fellowship. We look back over on the sermons that we've had, and there's key words, key things that have been shared with us that are exhorting us to change, that are exhorting us to look at how we're doing things and who we are. And he's asking us to develop and enlarge and move forward. He's trying to gather us in, I believe, and take us somewhere we haven't been. And, you know, change can be a hard time. Transition can be an uncomfortable time, and it can even get messy. And things, when they change and shift, can make us unsure. But we've got to know God is constant, he never changes. And we can trust him, it's okay. Just breathe, keep on breathing. Remember not to have that critical spirit that would try and destroy what's going on because you don't understand it or agree with it. Just have another thought. What are you doing, God? Let me get on board with what it is I need to do and what's happening here. Let me bring a positive note into whatever's happening. So God brings to us the new, the word says. It says he is fresh. So the newness and the freshness is the ground that we don't know. We haven't been here before. We haven't looked like this before. It's not the same thing constantly happening forever. God is vast, and if he desires to change us and how we do things, there's a reason for it. And his anointing, his provision, and his revelation will be in there. So it's just to know, okay, God, you've got the answers. I don't. I think I like this or that, but I really don't know. You know. Help me to find your truth and your way forward, that we together move as a body, changing us from fact to faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's important that we come from that place of faith, knowing who God is. He's constant. He doesn't change, but he will change us. And we go from head, of course, then to heart, fact to faith. We are therefore those who please the Lord when we act from faith, when we're in touch with the heart issues of who God is for us, in us, and with us. And his delight and his favour will therefore be with us, and that's a big deal. And maybe some of what I've said is confronting. I don't know where you're sitting at with things. I can only know what God's speaking to me and how it confronts me in various ways. And I believe God's word does that. If it's genuine, if it's truth, if it's spirit and alive, it will confront. It will confront who we are, how we think, how we sit on issues. But his spirit comes with provision and provides a way to settle those areas, to calm us down, that we know how to walk. So confrontation isn't a bad thing when it's of God and the truth. So I've only thrown out some crumbs, and like I say, it's a great big topic, and I wrote spreads, and that was my condensing it into a little bit. But I think in a lot of that, there was a whole lot of depth if we wanted to dig in and find it. But it was all from the Word of God. And yeah, thank you for listening. Didn't have much option, did you? And we're going to sing some songs, do some worship. So let's just pray. And then we've got three worship songs that Margaret's going to play, and we'll sing. Oh Lord, we thank you that you confront us with your truth. That your truth comes because you love us, because you care about us, and because you know the way for us. And that way your word tells us is good. That way is sure, and that way is actually known. It may be new and fresh for us, Lord, but you do have a way forward that you want to move us. And Lord, we thank you that you care enough to direct our path, to fashion our hearts, to enlarge and grow our understanding, renewing our minds, Lord. Holy Spirit, we so, so need you. Lord, help us to grow in humility, that pride would not stand in the way of being your true sons and daughters, who know how to take your word and let it be that light, not just for my path, Lord, not just for each one's path, but for a collective path together. That we would hold the Christ light out, as that song says, for each other. And say, this is the way, walk in it, for it is good, and God is good. Lord, we just say thank you so much. We love you. We cherish your word. And we so need your spirit. You are a great God. Thank you, Margaret.